Good evening, brothers and sisters. We continue this evening, Sunday evening, April 11th, 2021, as we continue these recorded lessons during the COVID-19 pandemic. We had another good lesson this morning from Brother Brent on the book of Acts and Acts chapter 11, and that very, very important chapter about the first Gentile convert, Cornelius and his household, being brought to Christ and the gospel being brought to the first Gentile family. So an excellent lesson, an important chapter in our understanding of Scripture. Tonight we're going to talk for a few minutes about reasons for joy. Reasons for joy. So open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5, and I'm going to read the first two verses, and we'll talk about this evening. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Some non-Christians look upon us with pity, thinking that Christians cannot have any fun, cannot have any joy. My wife Becky had a friend in college who just didn't understand how that we could have any fun without alcohol on the weekend. Her boyfriend was a member of a fraternity at a major university, and on the weekend they had lots of parties and lots of drinking. And when Becky would describe our weekend, she thought that we lived pretty dull lives. And I'm afraid that's the opinion of many people. Even I'm afraid some Christians feel that way too. Some Christians feel like that Christianity is just a list of thou shalt nots. Their heart is still in the world, and they just feel like if the preacher would just leave us alone, we could have some fun. He's cramping our lifestyle. He's ruining all the fun things I really wish I could be doing. Some think that Christianity is walking around with a sour look on your face all the time. Serious, no fun. But of course the truth is that there is great joy in Christ, and those who understand and those who appreciate the message of the gospel understand what great joy and happiness we have in this life. Of course there's trials and there's challenges and sometimes there's even persecution. But for the Christian, even with all the sad things that can happen and do happen from time to time, and the persecutions or challenges that come up living the Christian life, we can live with all those things, understanding that we are God's people and we can have reason for the great joy that we have. The word joy or rejoice is found 131 times in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." As we said, even when there are trials and persecutions, we should rejoice. James says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And so this evening, let's talk about reasons for joy. And I want to be talking about these two verses from Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. And I want to focus on three words, really more than that, as we tie the verses together. But three words just to focus our attention. And those three words are justification, grace, and hope. Justification, grace, and hope. And so we begin in verse 1 that says, "Being therefore justified." There's the word justification. "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're here in Romans chapter 5. We're in the context of the book of Romans, the first chapters of the book of Romans. And in these first chapters of Romans, Paul is discussing the great theme of justification by faith in Christ Jesus. He began by showing in the first three chapters that all mankind was under sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Gentiles were sinners. the Jews were sinners. All have come short of what God expected of us, and only through Christ, only in Christ Jesus, can there be redemption. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 21, "Now apart from the law, a righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all of them that believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Apart from the law, salvation was not from the law. It's not from law keeping. Salvation is not in any system except in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So apart from the law, righteousness of God has been manifested. That's the gospel. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, the gospel was manifested and was witnessed by the law and the prophets. That righteousness of God through faith, he says in verse 22, in Christ Jesus to all that believe. And so we're not saved by works, we're not saved by merit. That is clear in God's word. But we're saved by faith or trust in Christ Jesus. We're saved, he goes on to talk about in chapter 4. How are we saved? What kind of faith saves? Well, the kind of faith Abraham has. He uses the great patriarch Abraham as an example. And he makes it clear that Abraham was not saved by law or works of law. He was not saved by merit. But Abraham was saved by faith. He believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. James talks about the fact that he was called the friend of God. Abraham was saved by faith, by believing in God and trusting in God. He believed in God so much, he believed in God so strongly. This is the kind of faith that we should have. He believed in God so strongly. When God had promised he and Sarah a son, he believed even in hope. He was 100 years old, almost 100 years old, but he still continued to believe that God would bless him with a son. And so, in hope, against hope, he believed. He trusted in God. He believed God's word, God's promises. And so, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the kind of faith that God wants. God wants us to believe in him fully and completely in everything. Faith is so critical. Faith is so important to everything. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified just means made righteous, made free of guilt, acquitted from guilt. We're pardoned. How was that made possible? Through the blood of Jesus, he says in chapter 3, verse 24. In verse 25 of chapter 3, he says, he is our propitiation. John says in 1 John 2:2, he's the propitiation for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. Jesus gave himself. He, the idea of propitiation, is the appeasing of the wrath of God. God was angry. He wasn't angry in the way people are angry today. But sin had separated us from him. And God had turned his face from us because of sin. And so God was angry with sin, we can say. But Jesus, by his death, appeased the wrath of God. He died as the payment for sin. He died as a propitiation for our sins. We are now justified. Through faith in Christ Jesus, we are justified. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so Paul says here in Romans 5:1, being justified, being pardoned, our sins wiped away. We are justified just as if we never sinned. The slate is wiped clean. How is it wiped clean? By faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus died for us, and when we obey him in baptism, chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, we're raised to walk a new life. And so being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How is joy possible because of justification? How can I be happy as I live in this life with all the trials and all the challenges and all the problems that exist round about me in this world? How can I be happy? because I'm justified. I'm a sinner. I have failed before God. I'm not deserving of His salvation someday, but I can be justified. And being justified, being forgiven, I can be at peace. You think about the child that's done something wrong. Just think about relations in the home, and the child has done something wrong. He's guilty. He knows good and well he's guilty. He knows he's done something that mother and father are not happy with. He made a mistake. In that sense, quote, he's sinned. He's disobeyed God, disobeyed the parent. But now he comes and says he's sorry, and the parent forgives them, and they hug, and it's all forgotten. And now the child can be at peace. How can the child be at peace? Because they've been forgiven. They know they did wrong. But being forgiven by the parent, being welcomed back into the arms of the parent, all is forgotten, all is forgiven, and the child doesn't have to be anxious anymore, doesn't have to be worried about the parent's reaction anymore. It's all been forgiven. It's gone. It's water under the bridge. It's history in the family. Being justified, they're at peace. Being justified, knowing that God has justified, knowing that God has pardoned me through the blood of His Son, and in my obedience to Him by faith, being justified by faith. That's what justification by faith means. I've been justified, I've been pardoned because of my faith. God accepts my faith, my trust in Him, and my obedience to Him, and He takes away those sins. Saul was told, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Sins are washed away in my obedience and baptism. But it's an act of faith. It's not merited. It's not earned. It's an act of faith. And so being justified by faith, we can have peace. Another reason that we can have joy is because of the fact of grace. Of grace. And we've already, in a sense, talked about that, begin to talk about that, but I'm using now grace in the sense of continued grace and continued access to the grace of God. We're forgiven, and when we're forgiven, we become a child of God. We come into His grace and His favor. We come into His church. We're added to His church. Those who obey the gospel are added to His church. We are now His children. We now have a relationship with Him that we did not have before. And we have continued access to the blood of Jesus Christ by His grace in that relationship that we have in Christ. And so He had said in verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We now stand in grace. Through whom, verse 2, also we have had our access. What's the word access mean? The ability to enter someplace. The means of approaching something, entering into a place. Being justified, we have peace, through whom also we have our access. Through Christ, we have our access by faith, continuing by faith, into this grace wherein we stand. We stand in grace. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment. And Paul in Ephesians talks about this relationship that we have in Christ. We're in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, whom He has chosen, even as He chose us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved, in whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. We'll stop there. We could go on. But here is a relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. We understand what being in something means. I'm sitting right now, I'm sitting in my office. I'm inside the church building property. I was outside when I went to lunch with my wife, and then I was in my car, and then I drove into the parking lot. Then I got out of my car, and I unlocked the front door of the building, and I walked into the building, and now I'm in the building. I'm inside. That's my location. We understand location. We're in Christ Jesus. Before we were outside of Christ, before we obeyed the gospel, we were outside in the parking lot. But now we're inside. Before we were outside in the world, now we're in Christ, located in Christ. It's not a physical location. It's a spiritual location. It's a relationship in Christ Jesus. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We have a spiritual relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. We're located in Christ. How did we get into Christ? We were baptized into Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk a newness of life. We're in Christ Jesus. Ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Ye are all sons of God by faith in Christ, as many as you as have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. We're baptized into Christ, so we've entered into Christ by faith and by baptism. We're in Christ. And he goes on to talk about in this passage, he's chosen us in him. Verse 4. Foreordained us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, to the praise and the glory of his grace which he bestowed upon us in the beloved. We're in 13 times in these verses. In Christ. In him. In whom. Where are we located? We're in Christ. We're in that relationship in Christ. Why? Because of his blood, because of his forgiveness, because of what he's done for us. And we have access by faith into that grace. Do we deserve it? No, we don't deserve it. We're there by his grace, by the propitiation of our sins. But we now have a relationship in Christ Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul says in there in Romans 5, through whom we have had our access by faith into this grace. We're now in grace. We're now in grace. And that's a reason for joy. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. How about you? No, I ask God daily for the forgiveness of my sins. My wife can tell you I'm not perfect. And I can tell you she's not perfect. But we're trying to be in Christ, and you're trying to be in Christ. But we continue in there by God's grace and the blood of Jesus that continues to forgive us of our sins. But the whole point of this lesson is to talk about the fact that we can have that joy. I can have that joy daily. I should have that joy daily as I think about the salvation which I have in Christ. Not because I'm perfect, because I'm forgiven. And it's through that continued access to the blood of Jesus Christ and the continued access to his grace that I can stand in grace and I can be in a relationship with him. And I can know that I'm one of his. Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." That's a great comfort to us. Are we perfect? No. But we're forgiven and one of his sheep. And I can know, as I continue to respond by faith and continue to do the best that I can and continue to trust in Him, I can be one of His sheep. And as long as I'm one of His sheep and I'm following Him, I will never perish. No one can snatch me. I can walk away, but no one can snatch me out of the Father's hand. I'm in a place of security, a place of blessings, and a relationship with my God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should give me great joy. Great joy. Our third word is hope. Hope. Because of that, because of justification, and because I continue to stand in grace, I have a continuing relationship with God through His Son, then I have the hope of eternal glory. The last phrase in verse 2, and we should rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How can we be happy when bad things happen in this life? Trials and sickness and tragedies and hurts and sufferings and death and disappointments. How can we continue to be happy? Oh, I realize there are many, many times that we are not jump up and down happy, because there are sorrows and there are trials. But there can always be that joy. As we talked about at the beginning of our lesson, even when Paul was in prison, he could say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Even in the midst of trials and persecutions, there can be that deep-seated joy, knowing that we have a home waiting, knowing that I'm right with God, knowing that I'm one of His sheep, the hope that we have before us. The child of God keeps his eye on the future. I know that no matter what happens, I'm going to heaven. That should be my attitude. That should be my hope. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and following, Paul writes and says, wherefore we faint not, though our outward man is decaying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, that almost makes us laugh, doesn't it? When we think about the Apostle Paul and all he suffered, and yet what did he consider it but light affliction? For our light affliction, which is for the moment, just lasts a moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Brothers and sisters, keep your eye on the future. Keep your eye on Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy begat us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. We've got a reservation waiting for us. If we will just be faithful, be thou faithful unto death. Seek Him in your life. There's reason for joy. There's reason for joy in our lives. Can be summarized by the three words that we emphasize: justification, grace, and hope. We have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. We continue to live in His grace. And we have that hope of life eternal. Yes, the world thinks that we live, my daddy used to say, live like a guy who's got a sour look on his face like he's sucking on a dill pickle. Nope, that's not what God wants for us. We've got joy. We've got joy in Christ Jesus. True joy, true happiness, true blessings, true contentment and peace. Because we are God's children. We are safe in His hand. and He will carry us all the way through death into life. Let's keep our eye on heaven. That gives us a reason for joy, and let's live that life with joy around others. They may see that joy and true happiness in us. Thank you for listening tonight. Have a great week, everyone. Love you. Bye-bye for now.